Translation, 10th Canto, chapter 25, verse 14. Seeing the inhabitants of Gokula rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting winds, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra. Purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents of Vrindavan was an arrangement made by Sri Krishna's pastime potency to enhance the loving dealings between the residents and the Lord. The Acharya gives the analogy that for a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food. Thus, hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. Similarly, the residents of Vrindavan, although not experiencing ordinary material anxiety, felt a type of distress at the activities of Indra and thus intensified their meditation on Krishna. When the Lord finally acted, the result was wonderful. Omagana Tanirandasya Tananjanashalapaya Chaksura Militanena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Pradamayam Adati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sita Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Ragana Sanditam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Savitana Sarika Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Shivada Krishna Padam Sahagana Larika Sri Vishakam Namo Mahavarana Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Krishna. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Vigatate, Gopesha Gopika Tanta, Dada Tanta Namo, Tapta Tanta Nangorangi, Radhe Vrindavan Nishari, Vishabhanu, Sri Devi, Pranamami Hari. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Hare. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasya Hare Swami Anshakapa Trukhishya Vipasya 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 Thank you all for coming. Thanks to Ranga for inviting me, giving me a little mercy and good association. This prayer, Mukham Paroti Vachanam, Pangam Rangaya Tirunam, Tatripa Samahandandi, Shigarundi and Sarani, that means that by the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can climb a mountain, or a blind man can see stars in the sky, and a dumb man can speak eloquently. And that word dumb, it means deaf. I can't talk, deaf and dumb. But in America, generally dumb means stupid. No one can hear me. So hopefully by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and all of you, I can do something. Nice example here. That the residents of Vrindavan, they don't normally experience any kind of material distress. But Krishna arranges it so they can have more greater pleasure, you know, and intensely pray to Him. So all these things that happen in Vrindavan, all the demons coming, all Krishna's pastimes to intensify the devotees' love for Krishna. we're meant to also understand that. Like Kunti said, that when trouble comes in, we always remember Krishna, so that could be more trouble. Does anybody here know what hailstones are? Somebody from the north. Normally water comes down, right, wet, but sometimes it's very cold up high and then forms into stones. Sometimes they're like bigger than golf balls, and they come crashing down. Usually there's a very big wind. Every once in a while in Mayapur they have a big storm, and they're blowing and they break windows, and they break car windows coming down so hard. But these were much bigger. Described they were not only, they were chunks of ice coming, big chunks, not just golf balls. So it's quite a distress, besides the huge wind and flooding everywhere. So everybody panicked, but they just depend on Krishna and just cry out to Krishna's love. And then Krishna helps them. And that's the case with everyone. If we, so devotees welcome suffering, it's inconceivable, but that's why. In the material world, happiness and sukhi and dukhi is only meant that sukhi means somehow or that the dukhi is relieved for a few minutes or few, you know, whatever, the hunger. A very hungry person, there's a proverb that the best appetite is, the best spice is hunger. And they put spice in the food to make it taste better, but if you're not hungry, nothing tastes good. And if you eat anyway, you get sick. But if you're very, very hungry, then anything tastes good. I've seen. I saw in Japan a few times. These homeless men, and one man, he had his head in the garbage can with the chopsticks, and he was eating. Another one is the restaurant put out the bags, you know, of all the leftover stuff, late at night. And the guy is digging in the bag, and the rat is eating on the bottom of it. But he's so hungry that it tastes good, anything tastes good. But, like myself, nothing really tastes good because I never get hungry. People offer food, that's karma. Some people, they're always hungry, but they don't get much. And other people are never hungry, and they can't eat anyway, and they get lots of food. I don't know why these things are happening. But this is what we should welcome and stress. If remember, it makes us pray more intensely. When something is very difficult, I think we've all experienced, we pray more. We should be praying for anything, even if we're just cleaning the floor. We should be praying to Krishna, please let me do this nicely. But at least if we do something difficult, even the, you know, all the motivation people, they say, get out of your safety zone, they call it, and try to do something more difficult, like book distribution. Generally, you know, we have to pray. We all learn that we cannot depend on our own, you know, expert talking or our own good looks or, you know, whatever. Ultimately, we have to pray to Krishna to help these people. We have to just call. We have to become desperate. And that has to be for everyone, to chanting the holy name. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam last, that Krishna will give us and to speak what the speaker is speaking. We need the greater Krishna beliefs, you know, because Krishna will speak through you when you use us. Krishna tells Arjuna, you know, live the Matma, become an instrument. Let me use you. Certainly. We have to give up. The Christians in one church I passed in Singapore near our temple, they put out their different slogans. So one time it said, let go and let God. In other words, give up your false ego. the thinking and the doer that God takes hold of. And another time it says, melt me, mold me, and use me. Like you would take, like you're some kind of putty or wax or something, so let Krishna melt you down and make you into something, and then use you for some good work. Just spreading the whole name. Krishna will do that. He's doing it for all of us to whatever degree we can give up the false ego. Whatever degree we can just fully depend on Krishna. When we see miraculous things like this sitting there, Goswami. Now today, would you like to hear about this Goswami? I know you've all heard before. Two Raghunath, Raghunath Bhatta and Raghunath Das, and Krishna Das Kaviraj all disappearance day, the same day. So that's interesting. It wasn't the same year. Raghunath Das was senior. Raghunath Bhatta was quite younger. And Krishna Kaviraj was older, but he lived longer. So Raghunath Das first. Then Raghunath Bhatta, I don't know which order comes in, but one of them, on the observation of the disappearance day, his feelings of separation became so intense that he left his body. And then Krishna Kaviraj, same thing. And the feelings of separation from the Goswamis became so intense that he left his body on that day. So that's some example, like Narottama saying, Jaini opening the door, you know, I'll beat my head against a stone, where have they gone, you know, can't live without it. This is the feeling we should have. And also when we hear about the pastimes of these great devotees and their accomplishments, then that may keep us a little humble. Otherwise we might think, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a good devotee. I distributed some books today and I gave them class and somebody said it was okay. And if we really compare ourselves to these great devotees, that's what's recommended. Seek out, you know, association more advanced than you, more so that we can strive to come up. So Raghunath Das, quite famous, he was the son of the richest man in Bengal, and the nephew, the only boy child in the family, so he was meant to inherit everything from the father and the uncle. But from early age, during one Shatramatya, Haridas Thakur stayed in his village and was always talking about Rishi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Raghunath became totally attached to Rishi Chaitanya. He didn't have any aspiration or any enthusiasm for the material business. He just wanted to join Rishi Chaitanya. So when he got a little older and they wanted him to work in the business, he was always trying to run away and join Rishi Chaitanya. But his father, you know, being a very big man, he had people all around to go in the kitchen, bring him back. He tried everything. He got him married to the most beautiful woman described. He didn't care about them. The mother was saying, you have to tie him up. Father said, if this beautiful wife won't keep him home, the world turns and work. Finally, Lord Chaitanya told him, just be a good boy. You know, do your family business, and I'll make some arrangements for the course of time. So he took that order, and he did everything. So one time he visited Nityananda, and Nityananda was at Panihati, surrounded by his associates. And Raghunath came there, and from a distance he paid obeisances. And someone noticed to Nityananda, there's Raghunath paying obeisances. He said, bring him here. Why are you staying so far away? So Raghunath came. Nityananda said, this is not good. Stay far away. We have to have some punishment. We have to make a big festival, big feast for everyone. So he was happy with that. And he went out and he got thousands of big clay pots. And he got chicken rice, and he got kheer, and he got yogurt, and other things. And everybody got two pots, one kheer, one yogurt, chicken rice. Everyone was feasting, and more and more and more, when they heard about it, thousands, hundreds of thousands, even now when the devotees do that festival, hundreds of thousands of people are coming. It's not a big place, you know. They were sitting in the river, in the Ganga, and there was no room. And then he left, when he left there, and Nityananda, at the time he came forward, Nityananda put both feet on his head. So that was the benediction, you know, that he's liberated. He can get away from family life. Right? Kabe Nityananda Mori Kore, Chagayi Mori Vishaya Mori, Diya Mori Nitya, Chadanara Chaya. When you get the mercy of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, then you get out of mind. It's pretty cool. Now they are at the then you can become empowered and participate in the Namata, the distribution of the holy name, the marketplace of the holy name. So he left a lot of gold also for Lord Nityananda and for all his associates. Sneaked away. Then it came to pass that the family of Sharya came. I think his name was Jagannath. He said one pujari had moved, he went away or something, and he wanted Raghunath to come with him to bring him back. So they went, and they, I guess he'd gone home or whatever, they got him to agree to go back. And it was nighttime, and Raghunath said, I can find my way home alone, you don't have to come with me. So nobody was suspicious because he'd gone off with the family of Sharya and he left. He left for Jagannath Puri. But he didn't go on the main road, he went on the back road. So it took longer. Father sent the, you know, the Chokyas or whatever. They got all the way to Puri, but they never found him. And they didn't know what happened. A few days later, he showed up in Puri. He'd been traveling like really long and fasting. Lord Chaitanya was very happy to see him. And he put him under the care of Sukhdevara and Goswami, so they were confident associates. But his life didn't so much of him. So his father found out, but he knew he couldn't get him back, so he would send money. And maybe even send some servants. And take care of his son. So, for a while he was taking that money and he was arranging feasts for the devotees and Lord Chaitanya for the sadhana. But then he thought, it's not good to take money from materialistic people. I have to stop it. So he stopped taking the money. So after a while, then he wasn't arranging the sadhana anymore. Lord Chaitanya asked Sri Ramadar what's going on. He said, well, he had this realization that he shouldn't take money from the materialistic people. So now first he was just begging outside the temple, and then, you know, the pandas come out, and you all have the seen within the story. Everyone has their pot of prasadam, depending on their position, sometimes very big, sometimes small. And he would beg, and get, you know. Then he thought, this is not good either. It's like a prostitute. because I think, oh, here comes this one. Yesterday he gave me something nice, so maybe he'll give me again. And he thought this is not good. So he just started going to Food for Life and standing in line with a really down and out face. Then he didn't even like that. And he would go behind where the drainage and get the old rice, it even smelled bad, even cows wouldn't eat it, wash it off, and he was eating that. So Lord Chaitanya found out, so he went, so what are you doing? You're feasting and you're not giving me any. And he was like, we have a picture, you know, he's trying to turn his back and keep it hidden. And Lord Chaitanya grabbed it and ate it, said, this is the best prasadam I ever had. Why you're not offering it to me? Intimate pastime. And Lord Chaitanya told him, never eat opulently and never dress. Bhaktisiddhanta gave a similar to his sannyasin. No foppery. And anybody knows what foppery is? Who knows what foppery is? It means like fancy dresses, candy, dresses, very. Like all the advertisements on the way here from Jewel. For a millionaire and all these shops, you know, you can dress yourself up better than the eating. Poppery. But he told the sannyasi. I don't know what they were doing. Anyway, Raghunath, he was the most renowned. You know, the other Goswamis, they got to build a temple, write books, do this. And he told him, this, you know, be renowned. So after Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, he thought he couldn't live. He was committed suicide, feeling that separation. And he thought he would jump off and go downhill. But when he got to Vrindavan, the Raghunath, and Rupa and Sanatana, they told him this is not right. Lord Chaitanya doesn't approve. Sanatana knew from personal experience. Lord Chaitanya is not approved of suicide. He said it's tamasic. He said if suicide would get me to Krishna, I would have, you know, so many suicide I would have. So Raghunath stayed in Vrindavan. He lived a very, very austere life. He chanted 2 lakhs every day of Maha Mantra. He would pay obeisance to 2,000 Vaishnavas. And he would 3 hours a day discourse on Lord Chaitanya because he had been intimately associated constantly with Sri Samadharma. He was always with him. He witnessed everything Lord Chaitanya did in Puri. And Krishna Kaviraj was with him, and he would, that's where he got all his notes. So he could later write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And even if other Vaishnavas came besides the 2,000, he would embrace them and pay obeisance. And Prabhupada mentioned one time, there was one devotee living at one bhakta, and he was staying at Radhakund. And devotees were telling Prabhupada, they said he was doing Gurukama. And Prabhupada said, is he doing Dandavat Krishna? They said, no. He said, that's what Raghunath said. And he laughed, he said it's also that's good exercise. So Raghunath, you know, he lived like that. And he wrote a few books. When he was living at Radhakund, he established a tongue of Radhakund temple. And he was he ate like almost nothing, this much chas every other day or something like that. This channel, talking about this. Raghunath Mata, he was the son of Papa Misha, so he had the chance to serve Lord Chaitanya when he was a very small child. And Lord Chaitanya stayed at Papa Misha's house. Benares. Then later he came to be with Lord Chaitanya for some time, and
Morning.
Lord Chaitanya gave him some specific orders also. One was to take care of his parents, his aging parents. The Prabhupada gives a lot of explanation that because they were Vaishnavas, not that just everybody has to take care of their parents if they're not Vaishnavas. They were great Vaishnavas. And he said, study Srimad Bhagavatam with self-realized soul and never get married. Those are his basic instructions. And after the parents left their body, then go to Vrindavan. So he did that. He studied Srimad Bhagavatam and took care of his parents. When they left his body, they went to Vrindavan. And his order was to just recite Srimad Bhagavatam. He was expert at reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, different melodies. His voice was like a cuckoo bird. And the other Goswamis would gather together just to listen to him recite Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was his main work. Nice service. Different people get special benediction. And he was also an expert cook. Lord Chaitanya would relish his cooking. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj, we know him as the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he had heard, you know, this poor Leela from Raghunath Das. And then he was still alive, and the Vaishnavas were realizing that he was the only one that really knew all this, you know, about Lord, especially Lord Chaitanya later pastime. He had Chaitanya Bhagavat, that was mostly an earlier pastime, and also Radha Nishananda Leela. So they were asking him, please write it. So being a humble Vaishnava, he didn't feel qualified. But he went to the deity of Madan Mohan to ask permission. And just when he was paying obeisances, garland fell off the deity. And then the pujari offered him that garland. And everybody was very happy to see that. And then he took it. Okay, this is the Lord's will. It's something, you know, getting the garland of the deity or the guru is mentioned in Chaitanya devotion is a very, very auspicious thing. You know, sometimes now we have so many garlands, we don't take it seriously. I know when Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, you know, they would save the garland and send it to different temples and really waiting for it. Anyway, that was a special sign of the Lord. It's like the garland fell off Lord Jagannath and fell right on Bhakti Siddhanta when he was a baby. And then understood the special benediction. So he took that task of writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is great mercy for us. And he described, and he was very old, crippled, he had arthritis. You know, when you get old and the fingers don't bend properly and crunch up. I remember my mother, she used to type 140 words a minute. And then when she was old, her fingers were just like a little movement, hardly to move. So you see what happened. So he had that problem, he was shaking, his eyes were very weak, but he said somehow he was right. Prabhupada explains Krishna's dictating, Krishna's actually doing it. It's like people talk about channeling and all these things. Prabhupada also would read his own books and say, I want to see what Krishna has written. I didn't write this. He was speaking, you know, and dictating, but Krishna was doing it. And if we could fully surrender, then it would be like that. And I'm thinking what my, you know, what knowledge I have, you know, my education and my, you know, whatever it is. It's Krishna, please speak through me. Use me. So he composed it, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada mentioned that
it's flawless. Even says in Bhagavatam there's some, you know, grammatical defects and things, poetic inconsistencies, but the Chaitanya Charitamrita is perfect in every way. So he was able to complete that, make the devotees very, very happy. He wrote a few songs either in him also or in the well, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, Chaitanya was singing that and he traveled around South India. And then Jaya Madhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, there's a few others. But mainly we're concerned with Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada gave it great importance. In early Bhaktivedanta, he was advertising in Chaitanya Bhagavata, full translation with word for word and everything. But when it came down to it, he decided Chaitanya Charitamrita more important. He was giving all the really deep philosophical discourses about Chaitanya with Ramananda Roy, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and the TLC, that mainly just those philosophy that was given by Lord Chaitanya. So Prabhupada more or less dropped everything and translated Chaitanya Charitamrita for a couple of years. And he was lecturing on Chaitanya Charitamrita from the very beginning in New York, talking about this Goswami. Nobody knew what it was, nobody knew about anything. But he right from the beginning, he had a lecture on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So after it was finished, this famous story, we heard something about it yesterday, Samana Prabhu was giving so much nectar, just small little memories of Prabhupada he had. And we had just seen Prabhupada in a little bit of a conversation or something that everybody completely remembered. So this Chaitanya, he came to L.A. that BBT had just reorganized and brought everything together, the artists and all the work of the BBT from that was previously spread out. And Ramachar had brought everything to L.A. and set up offices and high-tech stuff and everything. Because Prabhupada had been very upset that he was ahead of the printing, his translation was ahead of the printing, and the devotees were telling him, "We want me to finish the Bhagavatam." He said, "Why should I? You're not publishing it, you're not distributing it." So they were bragging to Prabhupada that now we can produce a whole another volume every 2 months. And Prabhupada had the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita already translated. And then there were two volumes of Bhagavatam, with the canon or something. And so Prabhupada, he was touring around the BBC. He didn't say much. Then on the morning walk, he said, "I want the 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita finished in 2 months." So they just told him the day before that they could do one book in 2 months. And that was supposed to be a big deal. That was a big, big step up from previous. So the first thing they said was, "That's impossible." And Prabhupada, very angry, said, "Impossible is a word in the Fool's Dictionary. And you don't have any faith in the Guru. You can't do this." So they panicked. They went behind the rest of the devotees and started, you know, trying to, pray to Krishna, what can we do? And they got a lot of ideas, and they finally said, "Okay, we can do it. On certain conditions, that, you know, Prabhupada has to stay in Los Angeles. So whenever there's a question about anything, they can ask him. Otherwise, there was no email, no Skype or anything. Only write a letter, send it. Prabhupada's moving every 2 days. Sometimes his mail didn't catch up for a month or two. So so they said that would delay too much, but he had to be there. And then any question, the editor said anything, he said, all right. And they said, we can't finish it up painting. And we have to get photographs. He said, all right. And whatever else he said, okay. So they went mad. And, you know, they got everyone together. We have to do this. It's proper to learn. And then the BBC just did the marathon. And then described in detail in the equations. And Ram is sorry, you know, he read the whole book first, and he would give classes and readings on it. No one ever heard of him very much before. And everybody was working. The BBC workers hardly left their office. They were sleeping on the desk, waking up, working. The artists were, sometimes three or four artists did one painting. One would fall asleep, another would come and work on it for a while. But somehow they got it done. One by one, and every time a new volume came, you know, they would go to wherever Papa was. Because after a while, he was free to leave LA, and they would bring in that book. And finally, the last one, maybe two or three, came to Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said, yes, and said, he said, you're like 3 days late. But anyway, that Chaitanya Charitamrita came out. Very, very important book. When it first volume came, one morning walk in Vrindavan, the devotee asked Prabhupada, you know, can we distribute this? And it seems like it's supposed to be like, maybe the devotee thought it's too high, too elevated. So I said, yes, of course. Whatever people like. So that the first one that came out was first adding in the chapter 7 through 12, and it was in a big format, 8 by 10 inch. And you've seen the original Krishna book, and it was a really thick, heavy book, and a very big print. It was designed like the first Krishna book that Prabhupada designed. And we were distributing that in the airport, I remember, in Washington, D.C. It was just phenomenal, you know, people were taking that book, it's huge, heavy book, and Lord Chaitanya covered pictures. And we were reading it, of course, you know, because we never seen it before. And that's the first chapter, where chapter 7, where Lord Chaitanya preaches to the Mayavadis, and explains that Harinama, 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 Yuga Kevala, Alonasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Vatirani. There's so many wonderful things were there, and all the associates of Lord Nishinada, the associates of Lord Chaitanya. So we were in ecstasy also. Then, a little bit later, the rest of them started coming on the house. Prabhupada was very, very happy about this. So, in 1975 in Mayapur, all the morning classes were Chaitanya and Jarek. Of course, that's Mayapur, which is Chinese place. So, and Bhakti Siddhanta quotes the song recently by Madhavananda Prabhu. And he said, many, many people previously read the Bhagavatam, but in order to understand Bhagavatam, you need to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we encourage everybody to read it, distribute it, and it's available now in many languages. It was Prabhupada's great endeavor he made, and to prove how we can empower devotees to do such incredible things. Because first place that he could, in the midst of all his traveling and dealing with unlimited problems in this time in the world, you know, because we see now what, you know, things happen. It was worse than that, we're so new. Dealing with all that, giving class every day, in every temple they went to, counseling devotees, meeting people, traveling constantly, that he translated so many books. Like, there's many authors now in the bookshop, and they have many books. That's all they do is write, you know, 8-10 hours a day, and writing. Prabhupada did all these other things. And produced such amazing books that have real value. not just from the same old story of different names or numbers, but Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he gave us, you know, the connection with Raghunath Das. Through him, Krishnadas Kaviraj, and he also, Prabhupada used the commentary of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda for his purports. And then connecting it back with Krishnadas Kaviraj, Raghunath Das Goswami, back to Sri Ramana Rishi Sanya. It was a very amazing thing. So it was a good day to get mercy and try to understand what is feelings of separation. I know myself, I get feelings of separation from all kinds of stupid things, never from Krishna. A little bit from Prabhupada sometimes. Just, you know, when we try to manage the movement and make decisions, and we know that so many people are not going to agree with our decisions. When Prabhupada was present, if anyone didn't want to agree with Prabhupada, they had to leave. So, you know, either they would agree or pretend to agree, and they wouldn't speak out. You know, that's crazy. We're not going to do that. They would disagree, but they had to come along. So we miss Prabhupada very much. But then we have him in all the books, and all the recordings, and all the memories of some of the devotees. And we have to tap into that. And pray we can get these feelings of separation. These Goswami had, Narottam had. Narottam, you know, he kept trying to meet Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Dvaita, the Goswamis, and everywhere he went, they left just before he got there. So he had such intense feeling of separation. Many times also he was trying to suicide. One time when Lord Chaitanya came to him and said, no, I have to work for you. And Nityananda another time, Gopan Sanatana, they all said, don't do it. And we're always here for you. So those intense feelings that we get, you know, at the airport if our bagging is late, or we can't find our keys or our phone or something, we panic, right? Or, there it is, you know, can't think of anything else, right? So it's natural to have these feelings. So we want to get them to Krishna. Separation from, you know, association with the world. Here it's very nice. We're very fortunate now. Bombay is flooded with many, many senior devotees. And working hard to establish, you know, more and more projects go properly so we can effectively spread Krishna consciousness and train people, you know, to be real Vaishnavas, train ourselves to be real Vaishnavas. So thank you very much for attending here. We can remember this Govardhan Leela. It's a very, very important leela also, Krishna. Long, long thing. Krishna, Indra is a great devotee, but he, you know, he lost it. So he got envious of Krishna. He wanted to show his power. He couldn't understand that this coward boy was, you know, he worshipped Vishnu, but couldn't understand that this was, you know, his real origin. So he detests Krishna. But then he prayed very nicely later. And his apology. And his apology is a great lesson. We hear Mahaprabhu was here earlier. He has a seminar on forgiveness and apologies. So many times we apologize and it's kind of like, let me off the hook so I can do it again. I know you're merciful and kind and you won't hold it against me. But I'm not. So this kind of apology is common in the world. Abusive people, you know, forgive me, I'll never do it again. Take advantage of the other person's mercy. But Indra says, Krishna, I know you'll forgive me because that's your nature. But please give me intelligence that I won't be so stupid again. That's the real thing. And then, you know, trying to do it after this. So he was teaching, and then he did so much, you know, he understood Krishna. He woke up and he was glorified Krishna. And there was no damage by Krishna's mystic power. You know, the flood receded and everything was not like it's now. When there's a flood afterwards, it's totally disaster. But everything was nice. Everything was better than before. That's Krishna. But it really happened, but at the same time, it's like illusion. They weren't really in the material world. They're not really suffering. But Krishna arranges these things, the demons coming and all these things to intensify their dependence on love for Krishna. And their panic, you know, like in Krishna's engagement. Then they pray a vision of Krishna. There's a lot to be learned from the Bhagavad Gita. Thank you all very much. We see progress. I came here back at one of the very beginning times when they were using this room. I don't know if that picture was there. It was really now it's changed so much. And the ashram was, I think I went down there, I think you couldn't stand up straight. Come off your head. Things were really, you know, the devotees were really determined. By the emphasis rather than Swami gave on the people, on the devotees, caring for devotees, and strict sadhana. Everything changed. It's almost like Kapila Muni is creating a palace, flying palace, by the desire of the devotees. And Juhu, I was there when that first opened. I wasn't there during the building of it. The building was nice, but not very many people were coming. Everything was chaotic. And the Chanda and Sinem every night had a big queue in the temple. Now the temple is mobbed every night. Chanda and Sinem, I don't know, are still there, but you never see them. Things change. By the devotees, you know, sincerity, just having an ecstatic program all the time. Here comes. People start to realize this is a really great place, and they bring their friends. So that's what we're trying to, you know, establish all these standards. The GBC is working with hundreds of devotees from all over the world to, you know, bring everything up and up and up to make, you know, millions of temples. Now Bombay has cared for building it, but we need much active. Not only in India, but the whole world, so people know us. We were very famous in the 70s because there were so many brahmacharis out in Harinam every day. Now, many Harinam, there's no brahmacharis. Many people in regular clothes. But people don't really get the idea that it's some kind of a spiritual thing coming from another planet. You know, I think it's some kind of still, the holy name is being distributed. That's the thing. Just keep distributing the holy name. Distribute the books. Make more temples. Make temples in every house. And we will take over the world. That was our talk process. Now many people feel like the world is taking us over. It's difficult. Kali Yuga is really intensifying. But Kali Yuga also includes the spreading of Lord Chaitanya's movement. That's also going on in huge ways all over the world. Russia just had that festival. 11,000 devotees. That's not just like the Woodstock festival, there's all armies coming, but it's 11,000 only devotees. And then another one in the Black Sea was 3 or 5 or 6. All over the world that is happening, we want to be part of it and we want to be into it, you know, because then we get to the real mercy. Depend on Krishna. St. Francis said, he said, if I can be used, if the Lord can use me, he can use anybody. So same thing for me. Anybody can, you know, of course anybody that goes on books. order if they want to make the state court. Gopal Deepi Ga, Gorni Chai Ki Ga, Gorma Kadhani Ki, Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki, Raghunathas Goswami Ki, Swami Bhatta Goswami Ki, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami.
Okay. Any question? Wow.
Okay, Hare Krishna. I'm very nice for my name.
Not too bad.
Thank you very much.